moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for the work that he's doing. And I also thank God for all the men and women that's doing the Southwest Believers Convention Conference. It's a blessing. Nevertheless, God is moving by his Spirit. And I thank God for every man and woman of God that yield themselves to him in these days. You know, these are the last days. The Lord's return is imminent. And I believe it's going to be much sooner than we all realize. But I want to take advantage of the time. And this is a time to yield more than any other time in history of in our history. This is the time to really yield to the Lord. Now, Jesus said that when he gave the parable about the workers in the field, the last hour he went and got people, to go in his field and labor, and they worked an hour, but they got the same wage as people that worked all day. Now, in these last days, the last remaining days of time, we need to win the loss. Miracles are going to happen in this season, because I know the Lord. He gave me a dream years ago that I was trying to fix a car. I used to work out of my truck, and I worked all over Jefferson County, mostly in Birmingham, but all over Jefferson County in Alabama. So, some neighborhoods were good, and some were not so good. Things would happen while I'm working on the car, you know. And I was working in Southtown Projects, and a gunfight broke out. You know, I'm in the area, and I heard the shooting, and I saw a lady running in her house and look out the window. I was actually waiting on my customer to come down so she could tell me what was wrong with her car, but nevertheless, all that would happen. So, but in this dream, I was trying to fix a car, and it was getting dark. And you didn't want to be out there working at night. You wanted to get your job done and go home. And so the Lord gave me this dream. I was trying to do some heavy-duty work, like put a transmission in. And three guys had gotten off work. And in my dream, they worked for the county, and they get off around 3:30. So, and they said, he's not going to make it. And they helped me, you know. He said he's not going to finish in time. And so in the dream, they were not mechanics, okay? They were workers for the county. They did maintenance work in the city and stuff like that, but they were not mechanics. Well, just before it got dark, they became mechanics, and they helped me. And when they helped me finish my job, they operated like trained mechanics. They didn't get in each other's way. They helped me finish. And I woke up thinking about it. I said, Lord, what was that about? He said, in the last days, many people are going to be preachers. And it comforted me. I think about that dream sometime. And so the Lord, I know how he can do things. He can anoint you all of a sudden and cause you to do something that you've never done before. In my ministry, things would happen, and I didn't even know it was coming. I didn't ask for it. Didn't know to ask for it. You know, discerning of spirit. That's how discerning of spirits operated. The first time I discerning of spirit operated in my ministry, I knew what it was. And when it happened, I saw the Spirit, and I knew what it was by the Holy Spirit, as if it was a word of knowledge. And I saw a spirit of bondage on a man preaching. And I said, Lord, what does bondage do? He said, bondage fights freedom. I said, where did it come from? He said, it came from the pastor's uplines. It came to destroy his ministry and all of his downlines. And and that's what I had been fighting for months. And I talk about how Mr. Austin let me use the Believer's Voice of Victory tape series by Kenneth Hagin about authority, the Believer's authority. He let me use his series on that. Because the very next week, the elder was preaching, the pastor, and I saw in the Lord. Now see, I rebuked that spirit of bondage. I went into warfare mode against it. So while he was preaching, the enemy, the Lord told me the enemy's plan. And he said, Satan wants to kill you. That's what he told me. And I sensed the spirit of death. And so it was it had to be 1990 because The Hunt for Red October had come out on VHS. Had VHS in those days. You could rent them from Blockbuster or somewhere. And we went to my sister-in-law's house and watched it. And from the moment the Lord told me Satan wanted to kill me, I sensed the spirit of death. But I didn't tell anybody because sometimes if people get in fear, matters can be worse. I didn't tell anybody. And all the preachers I knew in the room, I didn't tell none of them. Because I didn't want anybody to be afraid. I wasn't afraid. But I did sense the spirit of death. And the first thing I said when the Lord told me, and I said this privately to my, you know, they didn't hear me. I said, I'll never die by Satan's hand. He'll never kill me. He'll never succeed. I will live. And those were the words that I spoke. But I still sensed the spirit of death. All day and all night. And then all the next day until what I'm about to tell you happened. Now, on the way home, I lived in the Woodlawn area. And I got off on 50th Street on the freeway as I was getting off. Airport Highway is where, you know, you get off there. Right near 50th Street. As I was about to get off the freeway, as I was getting off, moving to the right to get in the ramp lane, the Lord spoke to me and said, well, first I had this thought. I said, I don't have to go through this by myself. And all of a sudden, I saw a vision of Mr. Austin praying for me. Now, I saw him praying in tongues in the Holy Spirit. And so I said, tomorrow I'm going to call him and I'm going to go over there and let him pray for me. And I still sensed the spirit of death. All night long, I went by my normal routine. I read my 15th chapter, the rest of my chapters, went to bed. Wait a minute, I wasn't reading chapters in those days. That's after that. But anyway, I went home, went through my routine, went to bed. Woke up, I sensed the spirit of death. And that morning, by the time before I can get out the house, Mr. Austin called. He wanted me to check his Yugo out. He had a Yugo. One thing about it, you can't, if a car ain't made right in the first place, ain't much you can do. But anyway, I got it running. I told him what was wrong with it and fixed it. But I went and checked it that morning. And I went back that afternoon when I knew he'd be there to tell him what I found and to get him to pray for me. And I told him what had happened and about the car. And I told him that I said, Mr. Austin, I want you to pray for me. I saw the Lord showed me you in a vision praying for me. The Lord told me that Satan wants to kill me. And I saw you in a vision praying for me. He said, well, don't be afraid. I said, I'm not afraid, but I want you to pray for me. That's what I saw in the vision. He said, well, I'll pray for you, but first I'm going to go get you the Believer's Authority tapes by Kenneth Hagin. I said, thanks. I want to see. I'll listen to him. He said, I want you to listen to him, but I'm going to pray for him. And he went and got him. He called me, and I went in the living room, and he prayed for me. He said, Lord, bless him when he's working on cars. Bless him when he's protecting when he's under the car. Protect him when he's driving and everywhere from all forms of danger. You know, he said all that kind of those kind of things. He prayed with understanding first. Then he started praying in the Holy Spirit. And while he was praying in the Holy Spirit, I saw him praying in the Holy Spirit. I saw what I saw in the vision. And when he finished, he gave me the tapes and I told him thank you. And when I left his porch, I didn't sense the spirit of death anymore. And I didn't sense it anymore after that. The reason I brought that up, I was thinking about that this morning, but the Lord brought it back. The enemy, when I shut down the spirit of bondage, I never told my friends what I saw. But after that, things were better. And I would have told them, but I asked the Lord, should I tell them? But he didn't give me a piece about saying anything, so I didn't. Now, when the enemy try things, if you stick with the plan of God, God will guide you in whatever you need to defeat him. Whatever you don't know, God will compensate you. And he compensated me. He gave me a direction to go, and he knew I needed those tapes. He gave me the heads up, and I did what God got me to do. See, that's where we're strong. We're strong when we're connected to the head. It doesn't matter what you don't know. It don't matter what you've not experienced. It doesn't matter if you can't do what others do. Stay connected to the head. I yielded myself to the Lord, and I ended up learning how to defeat the enemy in a much greater way than I understood at the time. Now, I practiced, if you listen to my testimonies, I was taking authority since I've been saved. When I first got saved, Chris Lucas taught me that he showed me the scriptures where we have authority, and I believed it because it made sense. It doesn't make sense for Jesus to leave us here stranded at the mercy of the devil, and that doesn't make sense. And some people think that, you know, they hope God don't allow the devil to do something to them. I've heard all kind of prayers and testimonies. I've heard songs about what God allows. And God cleared that up for me. He said, I allow what you allow. So the ball is in our court. He gave us authority, and Jesus put it plain as possible. He said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means hurt you. How plain does it have to be? When I get bit by a mosquito, I quote that scripture. Nothing shall by, I quote part of it. Nothing shall by no means hurt me in Jesus' name. And it may itch, but it don't swell up. And I try to get other people to do the same thing. If a mosquito bite my wife, I just claim immunity. You know, Charles Capps taught us that. He pointed it out too. Claim immunity. But you know what most Christians do? They scratch it. They don't even claim immunity. Why? I don't know. I said, claim immunity. And then she, nothing shall by no means hurt. I do it for her, and I want her to do it. I want Christians to do this. And this is not, I'm not trying to get on my wife about it, you know, but this is what Christian people, they don't really know what they are capable of. It's time out for that. You got to know what you're capable of. Have a breakthrough mind. I mean, God gave us everything we need. Apostle Paul shook a viper off in the fire and had no ill effect. And it got the attention of the people on the island. They were looking for him to die. They thought vengeance had caught up with him. And when he didn't die, they were all amazed at him. Then he laid hands and healed the man's father of a bloody flux. Why don't we walk in the power of God and stop acting traditional and listening to the traditions that we believe sometimes? It got through our filter some kind of way a long time ago. Since the enemy couldn't deal with the first church, he found a way to put things in motion through seminaries and culture. And he tried to squeeze out the power of God. Well, we've been taught by wonderful men and women of God how to stand, how to fight, how to resist, how to live in victory. And we all need victory. And when you're yielded to the head, even if you don't know what to do, you're connected to victory, and you are victory. You know, I was preaching at a church, and I sensed that they had a problem with prosperity, and I had to preach there. And in the message, the Lord said, you are prosperity, and it made sense. It made sense to the audience and the pastor. See, when people hate, when they have a problem with prosperity, they think that people are just using the gospel to lavish themselves, and they really are, and then they think they're insincere about the gospel, and they think they're all about money, but that's far from true. If you spend time in the Lord's presence and learn his ways, you're not going to remain fruitful, just fruitful. You're going to multiply, and you're going to have to give. You're going to know how to win. And some Christians learn how to win, and they move on, and they do miracles. They work miracles, they're involved, and they do it as a way of life. And some people have bad understanding or false knowledge, and they can't do as much. But they're devoted to God anyway. They're just doing what they know the best of their ability. Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. And thank God, God has to work around ignorance and lack of knowledge. So it's not a put down. And Brother Pentecostal, And Word of Faith, don't underestimate your Methodist and Baptist brothers, because they listen. They listen too, to good teaching, and they More men of God are listening to other denominations more than ever before. I went to a friend's funeral, and the pastor was she was talking about confessions in a Methodist church. And I said, things are changing. And, you know, my dad, being a Methodist pastor, sometimes he preached like a Pentecostal. So don't underestimate your Methodist and Baptist brothers and sisters. Some people are very steeped in tradition, but some people are waking up and they're learning. Things are changing. And it's getting better and better. And, you know, the Lord is working in the heart of every sincere believer. Now, you know how the Lord is. He's going to have people that follow him in every situation, from every background. In fact, from every kindred, tongue, and nation, he's going to have representatives in heaven, people that he could say he's getting the gospel out there. And miracles are happening. You know, I know a lot of people who had miracles, and they're not well known. They're just locally known. And when we get to hell, we got forever to hear all these wonderful testimonies of this hour. So this is a time to yield to the Lord. I defeated Satan. Every time he tried to kill me, I defeated him. You know, that was the first time he tried to kill me. The second time I had a dream, and when I had the motorcycle wreck, I had a dream, and my brother-in-law had a dream, and we prayed for each other before I had the wreck, and I lived. I should have died in that wreck, but I didn't. I almost got run over by two cars. Not the motorcycle, but me on the ground. And my life was savaged. It was spared. And I didn't, on the ground while I'm sliding, all I could do was say Jesus. I said Jesus. And then I said it again, Jesus. And the second time I knew I would live. Now I asked my pastor, was that the gift of faith? He said it was, because you didn't do any work. You had a peace that you would live, and you didn't do any work. That was the faith that I started with. God gave me the faith I needed. And when I got through to survive, when I got through sliding, I looked over my right shoulder. I saw a tire and a headlight just a few feet away. And then I was thrown out of the path of that car. The man that caused the wreck told me he thought the car ran over me, and he saw me stand up, and he was relieved. He told me what all happened. And I was compensated for the motorcycle and my medical injuries, but I didn't have any broken bones. And I was all right. They checked me out, and then they let me go home. I went home that night, and everything was good. And I got compensated for the 2 weeks I was off work, and the insurance paid for all that. And I had sick time to use, so I did well. Now, the enemy tried to kill me. In a negative situation, God can work out something good. When I first got married, the first time I got married, somebody told me, you better buy everything you want before you get married, because when you get married, you ain't going to have money to buy. And, you know, that's not true. Of course, it's not. But I believed it, and I bought a motorcycle. Well, because I wanted to have a motorcycle. And I wanted to have the kind of marriage where you do things and play tennis and ride motorcycles. And I didn't just want to be stuck in the house all the time. But somebody stole the motorcycle. So I heard a message by Lynn Lawson. He's called Taking Back What the Devil Stole. And he did it, and he took back what was stolen from him. And I just kept, I said, Satan, I'm going to get my motorcycle back. The world's going, I'm going to get it back. I claim it back. You can't steal from me. You can't have that motorcycle. I bought another motorcycle just like it for a couple hundred dollars, put a few hundred in it. But when the insurance company paid me back, it took care of the loss. I had the equivalent of what the first motorcycle costed that I bought brand new. And then I got the medical, you know, I got compensated by the insurance company. And, you know, when something's stolen from you, you can claim it back. And taking back what the devil stole. We're not sitting ducks. We have authority here. And it's up to us to use it. And I remember the years went by, and I was still standing on that word. I had a dream that I had the motorcycle back. But anyway, I got compensated for it. Now, I said all that to say this. We have authority here. God, if you stay connected to the head, whatever you need, he can supply you. Even if you don't know what to do, just like the people in that dream I talked about, they became preachers. They were, the guys were, they became, just like they became trained mechanics. some people are going to become skilled preachers. And they're going, their anointing is going to be for the moment of time that they're in. See, just before there's a protocol of God. And I want everybody to hear this, that hear this broadcast. If you don't take nothing else away, take this with you. When the Lord anoints somebody, that's a final thing. They're anointed. They're going to stay. They'll always be anointed. And hopefully you have to activate your anointing with faithfulness, with obedience and faithfulness. Now, God can anoint a man to do great wonders, but it'll cause problems if he's not trained, because people don't know the difference. If a man work a miracle, everything he say is right to the untrained mind. And so God has to, you know, he taught me this over the years. He taught me this. He says some people, he want to anoint them to do greater things, but they don't enter into the next glory. Like I entered into a greater glory of authority. I had been operating in authority, but when I got the Kenneth Hagin tapes, I was able to walk in authority at a greater measure. That greater measure was a new glory to me. So when you enter into a glory, you can do greater things. And when people don't and they fail to, then once God introduced them to do greater miracles, then the untrained mind will believe everything they say as true. So, but right before he come, the people that he anoint, it really won't matter, because he's gonna use them mightily and heavily and rapture us out. They won't have a time to use that untrained mind and make things worse. Now, consider those things. When you are, when you have any anointing, you want to be faithful as possible. You want to have the holy things as if it is holy. And it's very important. Well, you know, the Lord says some things for our admonishment. You know, God admonishes us with the temple instructions. You know, the priest had to wear a rope tied to their ankle, and they had bells on the end of their garments. And once a year, they would go into the holiest of holies. And you know the story. You know how it goes. If the other priests don't hear the bells ring, they drag the dead priest out of the Holy of Holies. Now, what's God showing us? It's, you can be anointed. You can have the office of a priest. And you can have the priest anointing and even prophesy. And you can still die in the glory of God. Why? Because you have to live a holy life. Nothing less. And the priests, they sanctified themselves. They kept by keeping the law of Moses. Now, their sin was not washed away, but their heart was devoted to God, and they did all the things that Moses required. If they sinned and they knew it, they would offer up, depending on how much resources they had. They had, you know, if they were poor, they had two turtle doves. If you know, people that were better off, they had to use a bull or, you know, sheep. They had to give an offering to atone for their sin, to cover their sin, not wash it away. And once a year, they had the scapegoat. They released into the desert. But the main part, none of that did away with their sin. But having a heart towards God, now that's where the language is. Be doing right to your brother, walking in love. Not if somebody would have been doing people wrong, like Eli's sons, they would not have survived the Holy of Holies. So it's very important to handle holy things in a holy manner and not loosely. And now, when the Lord wants you to do something that's bold and outrageous, then you do what's bold and outrageous. It's all, nothing bad can come from God. Everything God give you to do will be holy and worth doing. You don't go about doing evil. You go about doing good. And that's why the anointing is given, to do God's will. And the definition of the anointing is I ask the Lord his definition. See, we handle words without knowing the depth of what they really mean sometimes. See, remember, a fallen race of men, and everybody has this in common, they were born in sin, shaped by iniquity. So all of us were sinners first, before we were men and women of God. So God gives us the anointing to help us out. So I asked the Lord, what's his definition of the anointing? And the reason I do these things, even though you can look up these in the Hebrew, Greek, and Webster dictionaries and concordances, you can look it up and get those meanings. But when you're dealing with a fallen race, people don't go around talking about holy things as a way of life. So the Lord uses words we can relate to help get a point over. But when you ask him his definition, you get a Holy Ghost definition. And I asked him what was his definition of the anointing. He said it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. You're set apart to do something, and God gave you his ability to do it. It was a gift. We get it under grace. We get it because of the blood of Jesus, and we believed on him. And our sins are gone. We've been made righteous, and God gives us gifts in order to bear fruit after our type. See, the anointing bears fruit after itself. But when the vessel has flaws in it, the unrenewed mind will pick up the flaws as truth. This is why it's so hard to get rid of negative opinions throughout the body of Christ. Only hungry people understand and receive what God is saying. Those that are hungry, they hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then when they're pure in their heart, they can receive and understand and see God. And the only way I know of to be pure in the heart is to love God and love man. Actually, the way we love God is connected to the way we love each other. So sometimes people love God, but they're unskilled. They're untrained. They don't know. Just like the three men in my dream. They were not trained mechanics. But when I needed them to help me finish the car in time before the lights go out, before the sun goes down, and when people come outside to steal and rob and shoot, they help me finish. See, when people do things in the dark, they wait till it's dark, literally. Now, but they became trained mechanics in a moment, which represent, now that got my attention, being a mechanic. They were trained mechanics. Now, I worked with mechanics for years and years. I've been a mechanic over 45 years. So, and I've seen people try to help. I've helped people that were mechanics, and I've had mechanic helpers help me. And the mechanic people that's just getting started and the mechanic helpers, they're not trained. You have to show them everything to do so that they don't make a mess. And nobody wants to hire a fresh mechanic right out of school because he's unskilled. He might know the rudiments of the car, but a mechanic can mess a car up. If you use an air gun in the wrong place, you can destroy an engine. You have to know when to use the air gun and when to use a wrench, when to use a torque wrench. And some people, they'll tighten the bolt too tight and the aluminum will crack, and now you got a real mess. You got to pay for somebody's car. And you're not going to, the money that they were going to pay you won't match. So you'll lose money if you do it wrong. But a skilled mechanic, they became skilled mechanics that didn't get in my way and I didn't get in their way, and we got the job done before the sun went down. Now, same thing God is doing right before he come. He know he's coming. The Father is about to send Christ to earth to reap his people. In the last hour, now that hour can represent days, weeks, maybe even a month. But he's going to do miraculously charged events. He's going to do great miracles through the common people to reach the remnant of the lost. Now you're going to witness this, and hopefully you'll be in it if you're humble to God. And you're going to be helping people see him. And all kind of miracles will happen in these days. This is a time to be alert. This is a time to be covenant alert, ready to agree with God, ready to respond, ready to yield. Because the fact remains, as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. And he can release a greater anointing just before he comes. What a strategy. I didn't come up with it. God told me about these things. So consider these facts. These also before he returned, people that love him, whatever part of the word of God they receive, he's going to use that word to help them so they can be raptured and help others also. Some people are half out of bounds. But he's going to use the word that they did receive to help them. Also, this one other little thing is going to happen. People are going to speak their heart. He told me that just before he come. Whatever is in people's heart, they're going to speak it. And this will take away the gray area. People are going to know where their friends stand, their children stand, their parents stand. People are going to speak their heart. And then the rapture is going to happen. Now, this is the information I got. Now, like always, take to the Lord in prayer. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord. Stay in victory. Stay in covenant.